Say good morning to each one and welcome to this part of the service. You may turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. I'd like to start reading this morning at the very end of chapter 5. I'm going to start reading at verse 28 of Genesis chapter 5, and then I want to get right into Genesis chapter 6. Genesis 5:28 says, And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. I'm going to leave off reading there, and I want to jump down to verse 17. It says, And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven and under, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Dropping down to chapter 7, in verse 1, it says, And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. I'm not reading all of the verses for the sake of time, and but there's a couple things I want to lift out here before I give the title of the message. Chapter 7, drop down to verse 17. Verse 16. Chapter 7, verse 16. And they that went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Verse 17, And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. And in all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Now I'd like to read the first part of chapter 8 and verse 1. This here is going to be the title of the message this morning. It says, And God remembered Noah. That is the title of the message, And God remembered Noah. I don't know what you think about when you think about the flood and you think about Noah, but recently it stood out to me and I was made to think about this situation here. And I was made to think about how critical of a time that this was to the human mind. It seems like it was such a small, weak link that connected the pre-flood era to the post-flood era. And God remembered Noah. Noah and his family was the only connection of life from before the flood until after the flood. And it just seems to me, in my human mind, that it could have been so easy for God to just start all over. And he could have, but he chose not to do that. He chose instead to work through Noah and continue his program. And I wondered, why did God remember Noah? And I also wondered, why did Noah remember God? I would like to look at the life of Noah this morning in a number of ways and to see why God remembered Noah. Because if we're honest with ourselves and we look at this situation, we can see some parallels. Sometimes you may feel, at least I do, that we're just floating, but there are so many unknowns that we just don't know where we're going to end up. We don't know how the situations we're in are going to turn out. We don't know what the future holds. And I ask myself, so can we really use Noah as an example for us today? Because the Bible doesn't give us a lot of information about him. It does some. It doesn't give us a lot of life stories like we would have with David, like we would have with Joseph, like we would have with Moses. And yet, I think we can learn something from Noah. And there's two things I want to mention before we start looking at Noah as a basis and a platform as to why I think we can use Noah as an example for us today. Number one is found in Malachi 3, verse 6. It says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." God has never changed. What God hated, he still hates. And what God loves, he still loves. So that is one of the underlying principles as to why we can look at Noah and make some deductions about Noah and his life that can apply to us today. The other thing I want to mention before we get into it is found in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9. It says, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." Basically, what we can deduct from this is that mankind, in a general sense, is going to act the same way outside of Jesus Christ. Man tends to corrupt himself. Man is born and has the sin nature. And so, while we don't have a lot of details about Noah's life, there are a number of things. There's a few nuggets that are mentioned about him that I think we can take and learn something from it and be able to apply it to us, because the things that God remembered Noah for are in fact the same things that God's going to remember us for. God's principles never change, and God hates it when people thwart or misuse or abuse what he has made good into something evil. And we see that that's what happened in the book of Genesis, and when we're looking at that and looking at it closely, it has some striking similarities to our day and age today. I'd like to consider a couple areas as to why I think God was able and why God wanted to remember Noah. The first thing that stands out to me is the faithfulness of Noah. I think Noah must have been an extremely faithful man. And faithfulness is not a one-time decision, but rather it's a life full of many small but right decisions. That's what makes somebody faithful. It's just the constant continuing of something that we believe and can see the faithfulness of God just in nature and the fact of our days and weeks and years and the sun coming up and setting every day. We've come to expect it, and rightly so, but it's because of the faithfulness of God. It is just constant and continuing, just like it was since creation. And that's one of the things I see in Noah, that he must have been extremely faithful. Look at chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations." So Noah was a just man and perfect, and I wondered a little bit what that meant. And so I tried to look that up, and one of the definitions of being just that I found was to be right in a moral sense, cleanse, or clear self, just, lawful. And there's another verse found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 4, that says, this is talking about God. It says, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." That is the same meaning of the word just. And I don't have a problem wrapping my mind, in a general sense, around the fact of God being just, as far as God being perfect and God being morally upright and clear. But it says this about Noah, that Noah was just. That's hard for me to, I'm not saying that I have a hard time believing that Noah was just, but when I think about Noah being a human being, such as you and I, yeah, I realize that this was old covenant and we're living in the new, so there's some differences. But finally, the heart of man, by and large, has the same needs. And it says Noah was a just man. And I wondered, well, what made Noah a just man and perfect? There's another verse that has the same just word in it. It's Proverbs 24:16. It says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." And I wonder if that's not one of the keys as that helped Noah and that Noah realized. But a couple things that I think helped Noah to be a just and perfect man is, I can't help but believe that Noah had to have a proper view of God. It just seems imperative to me that he did that, because otherwise the things that God asked him to do, the things that God asked of him, the only reason that Noah was able to do them was because he had a proper view of God. And he recognized and saw that God is unchanging in what he has set in order. For example, sin, holiness, love, morals. And all those things were in disarray in Noah's time, as they are in ours. But Noah was able to have a proper view of God and saw what God was requiring and what God had set in order. And right, and along with that, because he had a proper view of God, he was able to have a proper view of himself as well. A just man who has a proper view of himself realizes that he himself or she himself is created with a purpose. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." We as human beings have no choice whatsoever in when and where and how we came into this earth. And that's it's hard for us to get our concept grasped fully, because it's beyond our ability. But But a just man realizes that he was created with a purpose and that God makes no mistakes. So there is a purpose and a plan for you. Whatever your situation is, there is a purpose. A just man also realizes that he's created with responsibility. James 4:17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. A person realizes that he's created with a purpose, and he realizes right along with that that he does have a responsibility. He has a responsibility to his fellow man, and he also has a responsibility to his creator, God Almighty. Right along with it is a just man is created with accountability. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. I believe it seems like Noah had to realize some of these things in order for him to make the decisions that he made. And a just man also realizes that he's created not only with the possibility to sin, but with the inescapable tendency to sin. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's all-inclusive. Every one of us, every person, doesn't matter the race, doesn't matter culture, doesn't matter background, every one of us has the inescapable tendency to sin. A just man is also morally upright. Moral uprightness is an imperative to be just. Moral integrity is an acid test. If you are not morally upright, you are not a friend of God. And we will get into this a little bit more later on. But a just man is morally upright. Another thing I want to notice about Noah is that he was righteous. Chapter 7 and verse 1. The second part of the verse says, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And again, I wondered, well, what does this word mean? And so I looked it up and I was a little bit surprised, but it has the very same definition as the word just. So Noah was a righteous man. He was viewed as being righteous before God. And when I think about him being righteous, I just wondered, so what did that mean for Noah? I tend to, in some ways, almost, I don't know if you'd say idolize, but I set Noah kind of on a pedestal because God called him just, God called him perfect, God called him righteous, and God used him for such a wonderful work. So he had to be very different than us. And yet I wonder, really? Noah was a human being, and I think some of the reasons that Noah was righteous and that Noah was just and perfect, the reason he was faithful was because of the decisions he made. And so another thing that seems to be imperative to me about Noah is that Noah, I believe, had to have lived a separated life. That seems to be a New Testament concept, and yet I don't think it is totally. And the reason I say that he lived a separated life is simply because I think he had to. That's the only way he could have had or maintained that kind of relationship with God. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. He was called by God as just and righteous and perfect. Definitely not an enemy of God. So what does that mean? To me, it means that there's a couple of areas in his life that he had called to order and that he lived a separated life in. The first one that stands out to me in this setting here is in the moral area. Chapter 6:1-5, we already read that before, but it gives the condition of society that Noah found himself in. Very decrepit, very depraved, very immoral. immorality was very rampant in Noah's day. It was everywhere. This means, one of these verses here talks about, verse 2. It said, the sons of God saw the daughters of men. And one of the Bible studies I had read said that this basically means that the men of godly upbringing or godly heritage basically took wives of ungodly character. And these were men who knew better, who were taught better than this. They also evaluated the choosing of their spouses by a very low base, only by looks way. It was a very selfish, lustful society and desires that they were exemplifying. It sounds kind of familiar to today's day and age. And I think about the separation that Noah had to have lived in his life. And I see how that God remembered Noah. And I wonder, is God going to remember me? And if God is going to remember me, I realize that I have to be morally separate from an immoral world. We too are faced with an immoral society that has a value system that is basically backwards according to God's word. Just a couple things to think about and consider. Consider the divorce rate. Consider the common law, live-together situations. Consider the alternate lifestyles around us. And not only all of this, but we have the pressure and availability of immorality at our fingertips with all the technology that we have access to. Our society is saturated with immorality, and it naturally tends to rub off on us. It has a tendency to desensitize us, and we tend to get accustomed to it. But if we are not careful, it is very easy to start feeding our own sinful desires a little bit at a time. And brothers and sisters, we simply can't go there. We have to live a separated life. Another area of separation for Noah, I think, was his material pursuits. We do not have much from the scriptures to go on here, but it would seem very likely that Noah operated very different from his neighbors. He was willing to use his time to build a huge project. Likely, a lot of his resources and very likely his materials were involved in this project as well. Again, some of that is assuming. We don't know that. But it would seem likely that this was a huge sacrifice on Noah's part, because this project very likely didn't make any sense to society, for one thing. Just the mental and emotional idea of building this ark would have been quite a challenge. And I see some parallels to us today in our society. When I see people sacrificing to be able to have their own schools today, or sacrificing time and money to go and support a CAM work project, or to go to a mission field, you know, God's children operate on a different system, or at least they should. Maybe Noah said to himself, it's all going to be lost in the flood anyhow, so what do I have to lose? I might as well use my materials, I don't know if he thought that or not, but making it practical for us, we know that everything we have is going to be lost in the fire someday. So how do we relate to the things we have? Are we willing to use them? Are we willing to operate on a different system, a different mentality than society around us? I believe also Noah was separated, lived a separated life socially as well. I really think Noah was a misfit in his society. It just seems like he would have had to have been. Again, we don't know many details, but going on principles, it doesn't seem possible for Noah to have been very popular in his society. I think it's very unlikely that Noah was much of a social leader in his day. I doubt he was involved with things that drove his society. And I'm thinking about things like tend to drive our society. Things like sports and racing, excessive hunting, etc. The things that people get all wrapped up in, it tends to just control them and run their lives. I really don't think Noah was all wrapped up in that because of the principles we see. If he would have been all wrapped up in it, how could God have said, you are a perfect man, you are a just, you are a righteous man? How could Noah have found grace in the eyes of the Lord if he would have been that way? Something to think about. Chapter 6 and verse 9, we read part of that verse. I want to lift out the last phrase. It says, and Noah walked with God. It's another thing that I think that was part of Noah's faithfulness. Strangers don't walk together for any length of time, because either they will separate or they will become acquainted and will no longer be strangers. A couple things that stand out to me about Noah walking with God. It just seems like Noah would have had to have had his priorities straight in order to do this. Noah had to have taken time for God. He had to for God to talk to him like he did. These are things that I'm reading into Noah's life, and I want it to be balanced. I'm trying to do that with the principles of Scripture in mind, but I do some of these things because of what I face and what you face today. Because if a person walks with God, it takes time. And it's not easy to do because it takes time. And when a person walks with God, they have a vision that goes beyond, it goes way beyond the here and the now. Because this vision affects all their life, affects all their decisions. It's from how they spend their money to how they spend their leisure time to how they teach their children to how you can put in there whatever you want. Walking with God is always at a different pace than the world around you. You can mark that down. When you walk with God, it will always be at a different pace than the world around you. And when a person walks with God, his walk always lines up with the Word of God. The second point that I think is a big reason why God remembered Noah. The first one was faithfulness. The second one is obedience. And I think there's just a number of things here that, again, just stand out to me. The first one is Noah was obedient to the smallest detail when building the ark. We didn't read all those verses about the dimensions and how to make the ark, but Noah paid attention to those details. God gave him details, and Noah followed him. You know, would it have really mattered? I'm putting myself in Noah's shoes, but would it have really mattered if he would have deviated a little bit? Let's say, like, use cypress wood instead of gopher wood. I mean, could he have gotten by if he pitched it outside only and not the inside? Could he have made a little bit bigger of a window? Suppose Noah was well-to-do and was used to construction. Shouldn't he have some say in the insignificant details because of all his wisdom? All these building details are very important, although I think it's likely that he did not see this importance until later on. And later on, when it would have been too late to change, had he wished he could have. The challenge I want to leave with that is just don't skip any details that God is asking of you, however small it may seem at the time. Another area Noah was obedient was he was obedient when it didn't make any logical sense. God asked him to build an ark, and it had never rained before. God asked him to build an ark to accommodate every kind of animal and bird. Imagine the absurdness of that idea to the human mind. Accommodate all animals and birds? If he's like us, he probably didn't even know what they all were. I don't know that, I'm assuming. God told him what to do at the present time, although Noah did not know at the time how it would all work out. Noah was obedient even when he was basically alone. He had his wife and his children, but we do not read about any support or help from his extended family. Noah was obedient when it made no economic sense. Look how long it took him to build it, 120 years. Look at how much it must have cost him. And I think Noah was obedient when it probably seemed that God forgot. Again, we don't know that. It doesn't say that. But putting myself into Noah's shoes, to my knowledge, it does not say before the flood. I don't know that Noah knew how long he was going to be in the ark. It said it was going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and there was going to be a flood. But if Noah was at all like you and I, well, imagine the feeling of feeling the ark begin to float. It says that in verse 17 of chapter 7. It says, "And bear up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth." Imagine the feeling of being all alone. And I can't hardly comprehend it, but it was all alone. What was in that ark was the only life that was left. All their former things were gone. All their friends and acquaintances were gone. All their possessions were gone. And it was only the gopher wood between them and the same fate. Would it seem probable that Noah was reaffirmed in his mind of the importance of obedience? And we know that the gopher wood was more than enough because it was what God had said to do. I wonder if Noah at times looked out the window. We don't know that. But at least wondered, will God remember? I don't know. But it seems like he could have. It's very easy to think that he could have felt that way some because of how we feel. When we're in the middle of situations, in the middle of life, it seems like nothing is making sense and we don't know how it's all going to work out. We don't know where it's going to end. And when it does end, what are we going to do from there? There's just so many unknowns. Just in closing, I want to read 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And I want to remind you that those that remember God shall certainly be remembered by him, how desolate and disconsolate soever their condition may be. He will appoint them a set time and remember them. The choice is ours, really. If we're going to be faithful, if we're going to be obedient, if we're going to remember God so that God can remember us. Let's kneel for prayer.